5 years ago, Congress passed a law requiring that our food be labeled with its country of origin. But mandatory country of origin labeling has yet to be implemented. Recently, our food chain has been contaminated by a number of bad foods, like the melamine-laced protein powders from China. Consequent to those contaminations, some now say we should implement country of origin labeling, but others say not so fast.
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 542nd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Civitavecchia who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Rick O'Shea on the boards. Hello, Rick.
Good day, Michael.
Rick's getting ready to go to China, and we're all keeping our fingers crossed that he decides to come back and stay with us anyway. Also with us today, we have producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Folks, we now live in a new world order of open borders. The foods we enjoyed for breakfast may well have come from the other side of the world, if those on the other side of the world can make foods for less money than our neighbors can down the road. And given the costs of producing here in the United States, those on the other side of the world can often manufacture foods for less than can our neighbors down the road. So now we eat a lot of food from foreign lands. 5 years ago, Congress passed a law that required manufacturers to reveal their products, food products, country of origin. But due to the efforts of some, mandatory country of origin labeling has yet to be implemented. Consequently, we do not know from where our food comes. Recent contaminations of our food chain has renewed the efforts to implement the law passed by Congress 5 years ago. And this effort leads us to ask, should manufacturers be forced to reveal their food products' country of origin? Here today to help us find an answer, we have a couple of men from the meat industry. First, we'll start with Bill Bullard, who is the CEO of RCAF USA, with headquarters up in my hometown of Billings, Montana. Welcome to the Food Chain, Bill.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
RCAF USA. What is RCAF USA?
We are a national nonprofit association that represents the interests of cattle farmers and ranchers. We represent the live cattle segment of this multi-segmented beef supply chain that also includes importers and exporters and processors and packers and retailers. We represent the foundation, the live cattle producer.
So you've got the guys with the cows in the field, right?
That's exactly right, yes.
Okay. Do they call that cow-calf operations?
Is that that is right. It's the cow-calf producer that raises the baby calves that subsequently grow up to become steak and ground beef for us after they reach the age of 18 months of age and older.
Okay, good. And we always ask, who pays the way?
It is the consumer. The most valuable asset to U.S. cattle producers is the confidence of our domestic and international consumers.
I think I missed my question there. Who pays our calf's way?
Oh, we are funded by our individual members. Cattle producers all across the United States, our numbers are at 15,000. Mm-hmm. Pay annual dues to RCAF, and that's what funds this trade organization.
Okay, so you're member financed then.
That is correct.
And those members are the men and women who have cows and calves out in the field.
Absolutely.
Okay, also with us today we have Barry Carpenter, who is the chief executive officer of the National Meat Association, with headquarters, I believe, in Washington, D.C. Barry, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
All right, but you're not in Washington, D.C. Where are you?
Actually, I'm in Orlean, Virginia. I work in the Washington, D.C. area.
Oh, good. So you're in the Shenandoah River Valley, aren't you?
I'm out in the Shenandoah Mountains on a beautiful day.
Oh, boy. That's such a pretty neck of the woods, too. Well, Barry, tell us about the National Meat Association.
Well, the National Meat Association is a trade association of meat processors. We represent a full range of meat processors from harvest through final processing. And My primary membership base is made up of small to medium-sized operations that are primarily family-owned operations scattered throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm. And so they're the processors, as opposed to the guys in the field with the calves and cows, right?
They start with the harvest and move all the way through to the final processing to get the product prepared to go to the consumer.
Good. And who pays the way for the National Meat Association?
It's the member dues that pay the for the operations of the association and all the activities we undertake.
Okay, good. So both member-funded organizations today. Well, gentlemen, a generation or two ago, we all lived very close to the source of our meat. But today, that meat can come from the other side of the hemisphere, and sometimes does. Those of us who eat food from foreign lands want to know what's in the food, I guess, you know, especially given what's been going on with our foods here recently. It seems like almost every sector of our food industry has been touched by a contamination or a problem of one kind or another. And if you look at the beef industry, you know, you come across bovine spongiform encephalopathy or mad cow disease. But it's almost endemic that throughout the food processing or food industry that we've had problems here and there. So I guess my first question today is, who's responsible for guaranteeing the safety of our food? Bill Bullard, let's start with you and RCAF USA. Who's responsible for ensuring that we have safe food?
Certainly. The responsibility lies all the way up the food chain. From the cattle producer's perspective, it's from the time that the calf hits the ground and it's fed through the life cycle of the animal and then subsequently processed. There, the processors and the meat packers would have the responsibility. But the official responsibility is vested in our government. The Food Safety Inspection Service and the Food and Drug Administration share responsibility to ensure the safety of our food products here in the United States.
Okay, Barry?
Absolutely. The industry is first and foremost responsible and concerned about the safety of the food they put on the marketplace. They're definitely accountable for that. They realize that. And their future and their business relies on that.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously is a critical component of the U.S. society. And because of that, the federal government and many state governments play an integral role in the food safety. Both the Food Safety Inspection Service at USDA and the Food and Drug Administration have various components of that responsibility. It's one of the things that is a total focus, and I believe that if you ask many experts, you will find that the U.S. food supply is considered to be one of the safest in the world.
All right. And if you've traveled around the world, you know that to be true. So if the government is responsible for the safety of our food, to what extent do they watch over our food? I mean, how much can they guard us from possible contaminations from foreign lands? I mean, to what extent do they examine the food coming into the country, Bill?
Well, what we've recently discovered as a result of this melamine issue is that the Food and Drug Administration and Customs do not have the manpower to actually physically inspect all of the food entering the country. But even a greater concern is we cannot know and do not know the production practices that are practiced all around the world prior to the final food product entering the United States. And even though the United States says that these foreign countries cannot import to us unless they have equivalent health and safety standards, we still don't know the production standards, and that's what's happening with this melamine issue, pointing directly to the need for cool. Consumers should have the right to know from where that food was produced and under what production regime that food was produced. We produce the most wholesome, highest quality food product right here in the United States, and we do that because we meet the most stringent health and safety standards. That is the reputation of the United States. And we are susceptible now to lowering that reputation as a result of the increased volumes of imported food, again, that we're not certain of what production practices were applied to the development of that food product.
Okay. Barry, it appears as though RCAF USA and its cow-calf operators are all for cool. What about the National Meat Association? Are you folks all for mandatory country of origin labeling?
Let me first address a little bit of the issue about the food safety.
Okay, you have one minute before we go to our break.
Okay. On the food safety, the Food Safety Inspection Service does the meat inspection, and the meat areas where I'm familiar, does have inspection processes and procedures for foreign processors that ship meat to the United States, and they do inspections of the product when it does arrive. So there is a system in place. Does that system need to be strengthened? I think that's something that certainly can be looked at.
Okay, we're going to have to pick you up when we get back, Barry. Have to go to a break. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Today we're talking about mandatory country of origin labeling. Question of the day, should manufacturers be forced to reveal their food product's country of origin? Curious to know what you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. For those of you cruising along on recorded versions of the program, you can check us out on the forum page at www.metrofarm.com. Right back. Do stay tuned. Welcome back out there. Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. We're talking about mandatory country of origin labeling. Excuse me. Should you be able to know where your food comes from? Should the manufacturers of that food be forced to tell you? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We've got Bill Bullard, who is a CEO of RCAF USA up in Billings, Montana. We have Barry Carpenter, who's the CEO of the National Meat Association up there in Washington, D.C. Barry, you were talking about how there is a system in place by the federal government to inspect our food. To what extent do they inspect our food?
Well, clearly, for the plants in the United States and for plants that are approved from other countries to export to the United States, there's a requirement that they have systems in place to assure that the product is safe. The United States, is probably without a doubt the safest food supply in the world because they have such a hands-on set of requirements for food inspection.
Well, we do, yes. But
and the plants we approve in the international community also have to have those systems in place or we don't approve them.
Mm-hmm. I've read that the FDA inspects roughly 0.7% of all the food that comes into the United States. Do you think that's satisfactory? Do you think to catch everything?
I really can't speak to the Food and Drug Administration. The USDA Food Safety Inspection Service.
I guess it's the USDA that does the inspection.
It does the meat part, which is the area that I'm in. But yes, I'm comfortable that with the combination of the in-plant inspections that are required in the processing plants, no matter where they are, and then the inspections that are done on incoming products to verify that those inspections were done in the other countries, is a satisfactory food safety component for the meat program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, if there are concerns that the food safety program is not substantial enough, then absolutely I think that consumers should be going to the federal government and insisting that those systems be strengthened.
Okay, my question to you before we went to the break was, do the processors who are members of the National Meat Association, do they want to see mandatory country of origin labeling?
Absolutely not. Let me break it down for you just a little bit.
Please do.
There are really two distinct issues here. First, is country of origin labeling something that the government should really mandate on our society? And if you think it is, then right now the bigger question is, does the current law that's in place accomplish that mandate? And from the perspective of my members, we are convinced that neither of those are the case.
Are you referring to the current law that has not yet been implemented?
That's correct. It has not been implemented on meat products. It has been implemented on fish and shellfish.
Fish and shellfish, yes. So right now, as it stands, fish and shellfish are the only foods that manufacturers are forced to reveal a country of origin label on, or forced to acknowledge which country they came from.
Well, that's true under this law. There are pre-existing laws related to retail meat products that are required to be labeled when they're sold at retail. I think everyone has probably seen New Zealand lamb in the retail markets, Australian lamb, Danish pork, and so on and so forth.
Right.
There are existing laws in place for labeling.
So what is wrong with this law, Brian? What is wrong with this law?
What is wrong with it?
Yes.
I don't know that there's anything wrong with the law that is currently requiring the labeling of New Zealand or Australia.
I mean with the law that has yet to be implemented.
Okay. There are a number of things, and I'll speak just to the meat component of it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the definition of origin for livestock is inconsistent with the realities of the marketplace. And
what does that mean?
That means that the definition for meat is that it is born, raised, and slaughtered in the United States.
Right.
The reality of our marketplace is that livestock moves quite extensively throughout the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in the North American market, there is a reasonably significant trade in animals between our neighboring countries.
Canada, Mexico, and the United States, right?
Absolutely.
So a calf is born in Canada, is fed out in Colorado, and butchered in Arkansas or something like that.
Possibly, or a 14-day-old pig comes over from Canada into the United States, into a U.S. production system, someone's farm, and it is raised to slaughter age and weight and slaughtered in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the realities of the marketplace.
Michael, do you mind if I interject here?
Let him finish, and then I'll give you your shot, Bill.
Thank you.
Take your notes and get ready to come back.
A couple other points I'll make on some of the problems with the current law.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, is the law requires tracing the meat product back to the place of birth in the scenario I just described. And ironically, the same law prohibits the Secretary of Agriculture from using any type of mandatory animal ID system to verify that information. So it basically defeats its own objective. Then the third point I'll make is the way the law is written, the covered commodity is a meat product, and in order for a U.S. slaughterer processor to sell the product with an origin to a retailer, they have to somehow determine where the animal was born and raised, and the only first-hand information they have is that they slaughtered at their plant. That becomes virtually unworkable and totally inconsistent with, for example, the fish, where the origin is determined by where it's harvested. You can harvest a fish off the coast of Vietnam on a U.S. flag vessel, and that's considered U.S. product. So there's a lot of problems with the law.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to you, Bill. There's problems with this law that the folks at the National Meat Association can't quite abide by. Do you think that those problems are insurmountable?
In fact, the only problem with this law is it is not implemented for the other commodities except fish and shellfish right now. Consumers right now can avoid the risk associated with the Chinese production system by avoiding Chinese catfish if they so choose to do so in the marketplace. That's a right consumers ought to have. And as we're looking at some of the specific problems that Barry has pointed out, the definition of origin, it's rather disingenuous to say it's inconsistent when, in fact, we require that all beef imported from Japan be born, raised, and slaughtered in Japan. The same is true for beef imported from Uruguay. Must be born, raised, and slaughtered. That's because we recognize the significance associated with the production practices of the live animals before they are converted to beef. And that is why, because we practice the highest health and safety standards in the U.S., we want our consumers to know what beef has been produced exclusively from animals born, raised, and slaughtered in the U.S. We import over 1 million head of live animals directly from foreign countries, and they go directly to slaughter plants in the United States.
Do we import them live?
Yes, we do, in sealed trucks. And those animals are slaughtered, and the beef is deemed to be American beef. And country of origin labeling would remedy that, because then consumers would know which of the beef they are purchasing is exclusively born and raised and processed in the United States versus beef that has been raised its entire life cycle as a live animal and then simply slaughtered in the United States. That's deceiving to consumers, and this country of origin labeling law fixes that. The other problem that Barry indicated, the tracing back to the place of birth, that is not required under the law. What the law requires
is a determination that of what country the animals come from. And in the law itself, Congress told the USDA how to implement the law. They said, use the model like the National School Lunch Program. And the way that program works is it identifies what products are excluded from the definition of domestic origin. They've identified that the animals imported for immediate slaughter and all imported beef is ineligible to be fed to our school children. But they deem, through the presumption of domestic origin, that all product that is not excluded is of domestic origin. That's precisely how we should implement COOL at no cost to the cattle producers in this country.
Okay.
We should mark the foreign animals coming into this country, and animals that do not have a foreign marking could be none other than born and raised in the United States.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about mandatory country of origin labeling. Do you think that you should be allowed to know from where your food comes? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back on the phones. Do stay tuned. Well, what do you think out there? Do you think that the people who manufacture our foods should be forced, and I mean forced, to label the food with its country of origin? Good question, given with respect to what's been happening to our food chain lately, the contaminations of various things. Interesting to hear what you have to say today. The phone numbers are 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Want to take a moment to make a special welcome to the good people of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who are tuned in today through the good graces of AM 810 WEDO there in Pittsburgh. Welcome aboard, folks, to What's Eating What Radio. If you want to participate in this program, you can always do so by logging on the forum page at metrofarm.com. Curious to hear what you have to say about the nature of our food chain and whether you believe people, the manufacturers of our food, should be forced to label that food with its country of origin labeling. Right now, we're going to go to the phones and we're going to talk with Bill. Bill, welcome to the food chain.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Michael, great show. I could stand to discuss cool legislation for every food chain show.
Uh-huh.
This is right up my alley. I'm a big supporter of RCAF. When I recently had my bumper replaced, I lost my RCAF bumper sticker, so
uh-oh.
I need to...
Are you a cow-calf guy?
I work for a cow-calf operator, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
I am a big fan of country of origin labeling, not only for beef that you would, particularly in beef, that you would buy in the store, but also beef that you would buy at a restaurant. As I was on hold, there's a couple of advertisements that came on, and I think it's only reasonable to expect someone to be able to tell me where my food came from. I don't need to know the specific operator, but I think that the government needs to know the specific operator through cradle to grave, so to speak. Individual animal tagging.
So that would be the National Animal Identification System.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely would want to know if my beef is some sort of cull beef from Australia, if I go to a fast food restaurant, versus American beef at another restaurant down the street.
Mm-hmm.
There are monies available, I'm sure, to implement COOL legislation. That would be it would be very minor. It would be something that the consumer, as they walk through Safeway, would be able to see and be able to make more informed choices. And that's really what it's about, is informed choices. It seems to me that a lot of beef from Canada was presumed to be safe for years, and yet BSA showed up in Canadian cattle and then later on in Canadian cattle in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, not a lot of it, but certainly some of it did show up. Let me ask you, as a cow-calf person, don't you think that a mandatory country of origin labeling law would wreak havoc on the food processing industry?
I don't see why it would. I mean, there are many labels that go on to beef right now, and I don't see why... with a national animal identification system, why there would be any great havoc wreaked on the industry.
Mm-hmm. And my final question to you, do you feel safe with the fact that the ultimate safety of our food is in the hands of the government?
I don't know if the ultimate safety of the food is in the hands of the government. I think the government would inform us, and the ultimate safety of the food would be up to the individual and the choices that they make. If they choose to buy beef from some country in South America, for instance, then that's up to the individual person. I think that, you know, individual responsibility plays a big part in this. I want to be informed where my beef comes from. Just as an example, when I go shopping with my wife and we buy food that cannot, produce that cannot be peeled or washed, like asparagus, I won't buy it from outside the United States because I don't have the assurance that those countries like Peru and others that are producing asparagus are spraying with chemicals that I would be happy to live with.
So you use the information to make your buying decisions, and really, in doing so, you're becoming the ultimate guarantor of your family's food supply, aren't you?
Yes.
So you're saying that really, it's a person, it's individuals responsible for the ultimate safety of the food chain.
That's very true, and I think a lot of people just flat won't care about it. And if they don't care about it, if they don't care about the origin of their food, that's fine. But for the millions of us that do care about the origin of the food, I think cool legislation would be the way to help us make informed decisions.
Great call. Thanks so much, Bill.
You're welcome.
800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Bill Bullard, RCAF USA. Don't you think that mandatory country of origin labeling would wreak havoc on the processing industry and make the manufacturing of food even more expensive than it already is here in the United States and therefore make us less competitive than elsewhere in the world?
Absolutely not. Of the 57 trading partners that the United States has, 48 of them already have country of origin labeling for one or more of the commodities listed in the country of origin labeling law. We're one of the last sophisticated societies to provide consumers with basic information, and American consumers value both choices and information, but they can't make a choice unless they have the information. The problem here is the implementation of COOL is an impediment to the economic goals of the nation's meat packers, because right now...
Well, wait a minute. Why are they so adamant about not allowing the implementation of COOL then?
Because it is right now very profitable to import cheaper cost products from foreign countries, sell it on the U.S. market as if it were a domestic product, particularly in the beef industry. We have imported beef that is bearing the USDA inspection shield, and in some instances, you are foreign beef that is bearing the USDA quality grade stamp, and consumers do not know that that product may well be a foreign product. The current origins of the products are being masked by current federal policies, and this COOL law corrects that problem and provides consumers with the basic choices like Bill indicated on the call, so he as a consumer can exercise choice in the marketplace. That's the essence of competition in the marketplace, and competition cannot occur, particularly for the members that I represent, the farmers and ranchers that raise cattle. We can't compete in a marketplace when we cannot differentiate our product to the American consumer so they can choose to purchase beef that is, again, born, raised, and processed right here in the U.S.
Well, Barry, how do you respond?
Well, there's a lot of misinformation here. Let's start at the beginning. First of all, country of origin labeling has nothing to do with food safety. Or anything to do with animal health.
Okay, let's save that, and I'll give you that opportunity to respond when we come back. Is that okay, Barry?
I want to make that point. The issue of on the packing side, processing side, I'll just give you some examples.
Well, just hold on, Barry. We have to go to a break. Can you hold that and come back with it? Okay, good. Folks, you are tuned into the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-4719. 479-1080. Anxious to hear what you have to say about mandatory country of origin labeling. Do you think it's important for you to know from where your food comes? Or are you satisfied with just relying on the fact that there is a government agency somewhere who's watching over you? Does that make you feel safe enough? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back out there. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking mandatory country of origin labeling with Bill Bullard, who is the CEO of RCAF USA, a cow-calf organization representing people who have cows and calves out there in the world, and also Barry Carpenter, who's a CEO of the National Meat Association, and he represents the meat processors of the United States. Barry, before we went to the break, you made mention of the fact that COOL, or mandatory country of origin labeling, has nothing to do with food safety. Isn't that like saying that every country produces food in exactly the same way?
No, not at all. It's saying that food safety and knowing something about the origin of the product are unrelated when you have the overlay of the extensive meat inspection system that we have in the United States.
So if the government has control of everything, then it shouldn't matter.
And that is the point. If we're concerned about food safety, if we're concerned about animal health, then we need to strengthen those programs, and we need to go strengthen those programs where you can affect the food supply. As the caller mentioned or alluded to, only a very small portion of the meat is covered under this law. The burgers he gets at the fast food chain are not covered. This only addresses retail sales and only some of the products there. So clearly...
Are you saying that we should make it stronger then?
I'm saying if you believe country of origin labeling is something you have to know on your food products, you certainly should be looking at the whole scope of your food products, not some small segment of it, which further exacerbates the cost and the price of the process. I'm all for the safest food in the world, and so are my members. And if the systems in place need to be strengthened to do that, then by all means, we need to take a look at that and we need to deal with it. I mean, one of the things that the caller mentioned, the mandatory animal ID program,
right.
That's a clear example of things we're missing in the United States. We don't have the ability that other countries have to trace our food back to origin, to mm-hmm. trace our livestock.
We are working on a national animal identification system, I believe, correct?
Right. That's just one component of it.
Yeah.
But those are some of the things. But the question you'd ask was about the cost. And just to give you some examples of cost, USDA estimated that this law would cost as much as $3.9 billion in the first year to implement. There's been questions whether that's too high, too low, or whatever, but we've had about 2 years of the seafood program, and the Food Marketing Institute recently did a survey of 1,000 of their stores and actually found that the cost that USDA estimated and the cost they were having were significantly different. In fact, they found that the costs were 8 to 10 times higher than USDA had estimated, and that's just on the retail sector.
And why is it so? Why is it so costly? Why does it cost so much to say this fish came from Vietnam?
It all has to do with training of personnel. It has to do with segregation facilities to segregate product, separate labeling, separate SKUs, separate controls, separate equipment, new scales that identify origin. If you look at the FMI comments and studies, it's very extensive, and they went through in detail all those costs. And those are real costs. They experienced them.
Okay,
we have an example to go by there.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones and talk with Elaine. Elaine, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on. Michael Olson here with Bill Bullard and Barry Carpenter. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, what difference does it matter what country it comes from if it's fed food from China?
Good question. Bill Bullard, do you want to answer that one?
She's right on the mark, because that, again, establishes the concern we have about the production practices in those countries. And that's where COOL, in fact, provides the information for consumers to decide for themselves whether or not to avoid products from a country that may have consumed feed produced in China, or if they would rather purchase products that are exclusively a product of the United States of America. It's ridiculous to say this is not a food safety issue, because what it is, it provides consumers with information, and then the consumer can then respond to that information in the way that they see appropriate. In addition, if it isn't a food safety issue, why then would the United States specifically require beef from Japan and beef from Uruguay to be derived exclusively from animals born, raised, and slaughtered in those countries? It's because the origin matters, as well as the production practices in those countries.
Okay, Barry?
Well,
quick follow-up.
Clearly the food safety is the predominant factor. The caller is on the mark, but now just think of the current situation we just had with melamine. Had we had country of origin labeling in effect, it would have had absolutely no impact on what took place.
Because they cheated and didn't label the melamine-laced protein powder as food.
My earlier point, if we want to strengthen those systems, there are systems in place that are good. They cover our entire food service and our food in the United States. Let's target those systems. Let's don't put in a regulation that basically, from all surveys by retailers, is just a nice-to-know set of information. I mean,
well, retailers don't. It's clear that processors and retailers are not in favor of mandatory country of origin labeling. Those who put the food on the table, the growers, seem to be in favor of it. What are you in favor of out there? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. We will be right back. Please do stay tuned. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about mandatory country of origin labeling and asking the question, should manufacturers of food be forced to tell us from where that food comes? And right now we're going to go quickly to the phone and talk with Al. Al, welcome to The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Bill Bullard from RCAF USA and Barry Carpenter with the National Meat Association. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael. I absolutely believe that you do need to have country origin labeling. It's just a matter of, you know, honesty and fair labeling. And if other countries do it, I'm sure we can manage to do it. And you can't tell me that in other countries that, you know, there aren't going to be USDA inspectors on site there seeing how things are done. That at least the consumer has a chance to make a choice between an American-produced product and one that's produced overseas. And I think it's absolutely possible to do that, because whenever there is a problem with a meat or something like that, they're able to trace it down to a production run. So there already has to be some sort of, like, you know, individualized labeling at that point, whether it's a date or production code number or something like that. So it shouldn't be hard to, you know.
Well, let me ask you this.
Decide that it comes from a particular country.
Aren't you satisfied with knowing that the government is responsible for the safety of your food?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're as responsible as they should be, number one.
Can they be?
USDA inspectors at slaughterhouses. But, you know, at least I know that there are some that's going on in America, whereas I don't know what the heck's going on in China. And I'm tired of American this doesn't just extend to farmers. It extends to manufacturers. I used to make products here, and it was like all the stuff that you would need to go through, the labeling and whatever, and yet this stuff comes in from another country. And is that really inspected to see if those are non-toxic paints that they're using on toys for kids and blah, blah, blah? Whereas in America, they're really scrutinized for that sort of thing. I doubt if somebody's inspecting all those products that come in from other countries.
Well, they inspect at least 0.7% of the food that comes in. Does that make you feel safe?
No, because that is not the same as on-site inspection.
So are you telling me that we should have USDA inspectors in China?
Well, that's what you should have, or the consumer should be able to make a choice and say that, oh, I'm not going to buy this because I know that they don't have on-site inspectors.
Al, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks.
Bill Bullard, we have a couple minutes left. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think consumers and producers alike need to call all of their congressional members and urge them to immediately implement this country of origin labeling law so that they can exercise choice in the marketplace. The caller is exactly right. We have had an increase of 213% in the food imports from 96 to 2005. This melamine issue shows us why Kuhl is important, because the government knew about this problem a month before they put a hold on the products. It took pets to die before USDA and the FDA were able to act. In the meantime, consumers could have exercised prevention and reduced the risk by choosing not to purchase food products from China during the pendency of the USDA and FDA's deliberations as to what to do about this problem.
Okay.
We know the government takes
the risk. Let me go quickly to Barry. Barry, what do you think?
I think that the government needs to not try to impose artificial, arbitrary restrictions on the marketplace without having a clear objective. And a nice-to-know country of origin labeling law that covers only part of the product that's going to cost billions of dollars to consumers who aren't even asking for it. When they're surveyed about what they care about, they don't even mention country of origin labeling unless they're prompted. And you know the retail marketplace will supply to the consumer what they want.
Or they'll be in trouble. I want to thank both of you, Bill Bullard, CEO, RCAF USA, Barry Carpenter, CEO, National Meat Association. Thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating World Radio right here on The Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen.